do a good job there, I hope. I have a number of remarks that I'm just going to submit, but I think it's you know well that Portland State strongly supports the light rail project and the streetcar project that you're talking about here today. This transportation driver has been kind of the linchpin to the miracle of the development of the city of Portland and the development of the city's university, Portland State. It's an absolutely critical driver, and it still is. Today, I am working on the life sciences project down on the waterfront. That's $150 million. That's going to happen. We're going to make it happen, and that is going to be part of the light rail line and the streetcar loop that will cross the bridge. We will bring students, faculty, people who use the services of OHSU to the life sciences project from Portland State's campus and from all the way on the east side. So this is an extension of the dream about how you do urban development. This really is. Just a little story, and Nick Fish was kind enough to be present with us at the dedication of our new housing building. That's a 975-bed building. That was a $90 million investment by an outside of Oregon company, American Campus Communities, bringing jobs into our city, developing housing for our students. And we need to do about five more projects like that in the next 10 to 15 years at Portland State. They wouldn't have come if they hadn't seen what the transit system was looking like and where it was going. That was a linchpin in their mind about, you know, the seriousness of the city and the community, about how to develop this urban place. So I won't say much more than that, except just people to know, I know it's always difficult to see new fees and new obligations. We, too, pay those fees when we build. But we think that it is an investment that is not just necessary, but really visionary, and we have to bite the bullet and continue this process to stay in the lead and to fulfill the other obligations we have, like creating a university that is one that this city can be proud of and which fuels this economy for the future. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. And please feel free to leave right away. I know we've kept you a long time.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Ramirez.
I'll defer to
Thank you. My name is Paul Carlson. I'm a senior vice president for OMSI, and I'm here to speak on behalf of the transit projects that are before you today. Our property is going to be the nexus of both streetcar and light rail. The confluence of these transportation modes in our backyard will be transformative, we believe, for the OMSI district and for the museum. We envision a great deal of development on our property in the coming years. We strongly support the proposals that are before you today, including the light rail and a streetcar. The Water Avenue project is essential for the smooth flow of freight and vehicular traffic through the area. It's also very important to the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation facility because the temporary roadway that is in place today will actually have to be removed without this realignment project. Finally, I would just state that with the large amount of development we anticipate on our property and nearby, we will actually be a significant payer of these fees. However, we feel that the benefits fall really outweigh the additional costs. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you want to add anything?
Yes. My name is Valeria Ramirez, and I'm here today representing Portland Opera. I'm also a member of the Light Rail CAC and participated in the PAC. And I'm speaking today in support of the TSDC before you. The Hampton Opera Center, which is Portland Opera's administrative and rehearsal facilities, is located at 211 Southeast Crothers, just south of the planned transit bridge and the first East Side Light Rail station. I would also note that it couldn't possibly be closer to the bridge. I think there's some little overlap that will occur. These two parcels are bisected by Old Water Avenue, today. Portland Opera is in support of the project selected for the inclusion of the TSDC, particularly those on the east side of the river. The light rail project, the close of the loop project, and the permanent realignment, relocation of Water Avenue, which will connect the east and west sides of the river, add to the transportation infrastructure on the in the southeast, and will facilitate future development in the area, including plans of Portland Opera for the property. In addition, the Clinton to the River multi-use path will also help create a safer and more bike and ped friendly connection to the river and to the areas to the south. I would also like to add that the methodology used to establish the TSD rates appears to be comprehensive, thoughtful, and balanced. The relocation of Water Avenue is of particular importance to Portland Opera. Our future plans envision a closer connection between our two parcels, which would be facilitated by permanently relocating Water Avenue to the east side. This relocation will improve safer passage through the area for all types of traffic and better connect the district to our neighbors to the south. Portland Opera urges you to support the adoption of the TSDC by the council. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ramirez. Thank you all very much. Next on the list is Michael Powell from Portland Streetcar, Chris Eikamp from the Hosford Abernathy Neighborhood District, who is on the project team. Mary Ann Fitzgerald from the Citywide Pedestrian Advisory Committee and Michael O'Connor submitted a letter. Did I get everybody? Yes. Who would like to go first? Mr. Powell.
Thank you. Michael Powell, I chair the streetcar board and have been involved with the streetcar since its inception. And we are on August 12th celebrating our 10th anniversary, at which point 28 million people will have safely, no serious accidents in the history of the streetcar, safely used the streetcar, and it will have facilitated well over $4 billion worth of development along the alignment at twice the levels of density of the rest of the city.
Was that 4
city.
Million?
Billion.
Or 4 billion?
B. Yeah, not chump change. In a year, on September 21st of next year, we will celebrate the opening of the East Side Light Rail streetcar, which will take the streetcar to OMSI on Oregon-built cars and increase that ridership significantly. Today, of course, we're here to talk about something that's very important to the streetcar community, which is the closing of the loop. These funds are critical for us to have the connectivity on either end of the Carruthers Bridge and to facilitate the use of the bridge by the streetcar. Certainly, the improvements to Water and Clinton are important. You've heard enough, I think, about those. But this money is the final piece of what would be the loop, the Ringstrasse, whatever name it will come to have, and will unify and connect the central business district, both east and west. I think for the large picture, it's good to remember, too, I haven't heard the word quadrangle used yet here. This is a great way of unifying both PSU, OHSU, the community college on the east side, and OMSI, and provide that kind of connectivity for transportation that the research and educational potential of those institutions provide this city, the job growth that they provide. And so all of these things come together to make this important. As a businessman, I know that special development charges are never very palatable, and I know there's never a good time for them. But this project, I think, trumps those concerns, or at least in my mind it does, and in the mind of the Board of the Portland Streetcar, I urge your support for these three items. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Chris Eikamp, and I support these projects. I am the hand representative on the advisory panel, but these opinions are my own. The residents of Hand that I've talked to, my neighbors, members of the board that I've talked to, are all generally positive about the projects on this list. The light rail and the streetcar will, of course, enhance our connectivity to the transit network, and it is my hope that these projects will bring a little new development in some of the dusty corners of our neighborhood. But the project that seems to have people most interested and excited is the possibility of realizing the Clinton to the River. This is a project that residents have been working on for over 10 years, and it's something that I'd really like to see happen. These projects need to be paid for. No funding mechanism is perfect, but these projects will add considerable value to the property surrounding the light rail and surrounding the streetcar. And it certainly seems reasonable that the public should recapture some part of that windfall for to actually fund the projects. The thing I like about the SDC process is that you actually collect the money at the time that the property owner is realizing that gain. And it seems like a good way to set it up. One disappointment I've had in this process is that the Clinton to the River funding was reduced. I'm still hoping the project will be built and funded, but I do hope that if the time comes that you will partner with the neighbors and residents of Southeast Portland to make sure this project is funded and built. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Sir.
Mike O'Connor, chair of the Brooklyn Action Corps Neighborhood Association, and we're in support of the TSD and the light rail. We're really excited about it, and wanted to reiterate that I think a big source of value that I personally fought for and got involved with the Neighborhood Association in favor of is the quiet zone, which is really going to improve the value of the homes, I think, in the Hosford Abernathy and the Brooklyn Neighborhood Association, or Brooklyn neighborhoods. So we're really excited about that. And we do support the TSD as a way to fill in the funding on this. One issue that that was unfortunately removed, and as I stated in my letter, removed from the light rail project is this pedestrian bridge that goes over Rhine Street, and we want to try to include that back. we made our support conditional on it bringing that back into the project if possible. And there have been some recent developments regarding that. Last week, there was a meeting with the Development Bureau and Union Pacific regarding the renovations that they're planning at their yard. And it turns out that there's a 1943 city ordinance that requires Union Pacific to maintain that bridge. So we're hoping that that the bridge is replaced during the UP renovations, but we also want to kind of keep an eye on it, and if that doesn't work out, have the city put as much pressure on the railroad to rebuild that, and if they are able to get out of doing that somehow, we would really like the city to include this in the project. So that's kind of the...
And fair enough. For the last six years, I've been asking the railroad to make a significant investment on your behalf, on the city's behalf, in that infrastructure. Since the 40s, there's been the passage of additional federal laws that make the city's requirement on them a dream for lawyers, but we continue to push. You're right to bring it up.
Great. Thanks, Sam.
Ms. Fitzgerald.
Good morning. My name is Marianne Fitzgerald, and I'm a member of the City of Portland Pedestrian Advisory Committee. Our committee was briefed on the project last month, and we are pleased that the Innovation Quadrant TSDC projects are multimodal in nature. You've already heard the many merits of Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail and Eastside Streetcar as major additions to the city's high-capacity transit system. Other projects are greatly needed to meet our goals of more people walking more safely throughout our neighborhoods. Clinton to the River multi-use path, Southwest 4th Avenue streetscape, the Broadway cycles track and streetscape. These are projects that are really good for pedestrian safety. We were concerned about the new fee's potential negative impact on business development, especially on small businesses, but we do support the TSDC overlay because we believe these projects will bring many benefits to the affected area. The members of the Portland PAC are citizens that are active in our community. We're residents, we're business people, we're customers who care about safety for everyone living and visiting our city. We do support the Innovation Quadrant, TSDC overlay, and the balanced approach that it takes to mitigating impact of development. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Really appreciate it. All right.
Okay. For public testimony, would Linda Netikoven, Sue Pierce, Amy Levin come up, please? They'll be followed by James Lee, Brian Dunn, and Art Llewellyn.
Thank you for being here. If you'd let us know up front your position on the issue and then give us a quick explanation, brevity is much appreciated.
Thank you, Mayor Adams.
The mic a little bit.
Is this better? Okay. Mayor and City Council members, I'm Linda Netikoven, Vice Chair of the Hosford Abernathy Neighborhood Association. I'm here to tell you we are neutral on the TSDC study, and we'll explain that a little bit more. Even though time is tight, I refuse to skip my thank yous. We are really appreciative of all the good work that, well, first of all, you and the PBOT staff and the TriMet team have done in getting the quiet zone process moving along to this point. And it's critical to the livability and future development of our neighborhood. We won't have a good place to be without it, so we appreciate it greatly. We also want to take this opportunity to remind you that, thinking of Michael Powell's recent comments about the redevelopment potential, if we don't get some good station area planning done in a comprehensive way for the Clinton area station, we're not going to be able to capture in an optimum way the opportunities that come to us. And so there is no funding, I don't think, in this city budget this year, and I'm hoping maybe people can keep thinking about that. We've tried to cobble together students and bits of staff time in various places to do some planning, and people have been very helpful, but it would be good to have a comprehensive look. So the issue at hand, I want to remind you first that Hand dug into its collective pockets years ago to fund a part-time staff person to try to bring the light rail process back for Portland, Milwaukee after it was defeated at the ballot box. So we really have a big vision for our regional transportation system, want to see it happen. But I think we've had a difficult time following changes in boundaries, changes in rates. The myriad of conversations that have gone on during this process have unanswered questions. Many neighbors still don't see that nexus between benefit and burden, paying for something as regional as the streetcar loop with the investments of people within only the central east side part of the city, for example. Obviously, people are paying across the river as well. But it's some of these kinds of disconnects that we have not been able to successfully answer in the brief time that we've had. So we remain neutral, although we are very excited about the projects, and other people will say more about that. So that's all I have for this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Susan.
Oh, okay. My name is Susan Pierce. I also am a member of the Hosford Abernathy Neighborhood Association, and their representative on the streetcar Citizens Advisory Committee and the Loop Project Advisory Committee, as well as the light rail, a number of committees. You've heard me say this before, that all many of which have to do with this. I've sent you an email, and I've been making some changes in my comments, and I think rather than I'll try to do this quickly. I am very much in favor of these projects. I share some concerns about the funding package. I fully support the projects and could extol the virtues of the projects for the rest of my 3 minutes. Other people have done so before me, and I think I'll just move on. The funding package the funding package has created some confusion among members of the East Side, at least. The process has felt, for the public process, has felt a little bit frenetic through multiple presentations on all those committees on which I sit. Some questions have been answered, and then other questions have arisen, and information seems to change. And I think part of that has to do with the evolvement based on public input. My letter and the people coming behind me, I know, are going to be offering some questions that have to do with that, so I, again, won't spend that time. But what I would say is, I'd suggest that everybody take a big breath, deep breath. And that the City Council consider the questions and concerns that I've written and that people behind me will be writing, and proceed carefully and allow time for further public outreach. I know there's some timeliness is important for that federal funding, but it's important that everybody fully understand. I do have three or four requests that are very important, and one is that the collection of the SDCs will not extend beyond the 20 years, that it will indeed sunset, and that should the current goal of $14.5 million be reached prior to the 20-year goal, the charges will be retired at that time rather than continuing for the full 20 years. The project list and fee structure will not be amended without going before City Council with attendant public process so that we can comment, and that hand and can I finish my sentence?
Absolutely.
That hand and the Brooklyn boards be added to the list. let me start my sentence again. The statutory requirements that all interested parties be notified about proceedings, proposals regarding the TSDCs be modified to include hand and Brooklyn board lists.
Thank you. And we are under the deadline, the gun of the federal government. There's no question about it. And that does rub up against our, I think, generally good traditions of public process. And the proposal has benefited from the public input we received thus far. But it does sort of push at our normal public process that we like to do. The reason for that, the timeline for that, the urgency of that is the federal funding and being able to break ground this in a particular construction season and get those jobs out there. But I want to acknowledge that, yes, we've had to push this faster than we normally would.
And we have another hearing in July, right, on the actual.
There's another hearing on this project. This phase of the project we're pushing now for federal financing ideal deadlines.
So hopefully public input can continue, or public process can.
Yeah, this is not in the public outreach and process, and we do continue to get to refine it within the parameters of what we're approving today. There's still the opportunity to refine and polish it, but we got to keep moving it
forward. I can just make sure I encapsulated your final points, that the collection of the SDC should sunset in 20 years. If it reaches $14.5 million before that time, it should retire, the SDC would retire. And that the project list and fee structure be approved by council.
So that the public process will.
If it changes.
If something changes, process. That we're going to be involved in that conversation.
Absolutely.
And that hand and Brooklyn will both.
So we need to move on.
Okay. I just want to nod. Do you support the amendment that I am thinking of proposing?
May I ask a question about that?
Yeah.
So do I understand that this is saying, just to make sure, that this is saying that. Should those TE grants not come through, even though there is some other partial funding for Clinton to the River, then they would be removed from the list of projects supported, funded?
Only if it comes back to council.
If
that happens, it has to come back to council, is what the amendment says. And I think that's what you're asking.
Yeah, and so in which case you'd have a tearful woman on your hands. But yes, I worked on this for so long, but that is a reasonable approach.
Thank you for all your work.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll try to be brief. My name is Amy Lewin. I'm a hand board member and involved in some of the conversations over the last couple of weeks about this concept. And I just want to echo what Sue has already said, and I don't want to repeat too much. I came here before. I want to mention again, Clinton to the River is very important. I appreciate Commissioner Fritz's amendment, and I would support that. We as a neighborhood association decided to remain neutral because we acknowledge that this is a lot of money to ask of a lot of small property owners who may decide to develop in the next 20 years, and we definitely need to be mindful of the people who are footing the bill, because they're footing the bill in a lot of different ways already. I think that what Art and Shoshana have presented is a good idea to some extent. I question the boundary. I think there could be a little more fudging with considering development north of Hawthorne and maybe further east to our neighborhood. Just something to throw out there for consideration. I know we're on a short timeline, and I appreciate that. But I also want to say that it's also very important and not mentioned in this project list that we don't have an above-grade ped crossing at the Clinton Station. And hopefully you can get some funding in some other way, but we need to be mindful about if we are doing system development charges for improvements to this area, that's a missing link and a very important link. So with that, I think those are the points missing at this discussion, and thank you.
I just want to make sure that you and the viewers and listeners understand that I can't think of an exception for light rail or streetcar where the local property owners did not make a contribution. In other words, local property owners have always made a contribution to streetcar and light rail projects. So you're being treated the same as other neighborhoods have been treated in that sense. That's not to say that the details don't matter. They do. Okay. Thank you.
And next we'll have Brian Dunn, Art Llewellyn, James Lee, and they'll be followed by Alan Della Torre and Peter Fry.
Hi, welcome to the City Council. Welcome back. Thanks for your patience. Please begin.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Brian Dunn. I'm with Group McKinsey, a transportation engineer. I was on the PAC committee representing the Central East Side Industrial Council and the district, representing them again today. I just have a few comments. I guess at this point, like the several groups before me, we remain neutral on the TSDC overlay project. We have some concerns, which I'll elaborate on here today, and some suggestions for consideration between now and perhaps the next hearing on July 13th. Again, like most people here today, we do support the projects. We think they have merit of the six projects that are on the list. But the CEIC is still greatly concerned about the overlay project. We've had concerns. We continue to have concerns about its legitimacy, its equity, as well as its efficacy. I'm going to speak mainly to our primary concerns about the inequity of this project in two areas. One has to do with the study area boundary. Typically, you know, like the normal TSDC program that the city has, it extends to the entire city limits, whereas in this case, we're now creating a sub-district, another one like the North McAdam overlay. In the CEID, what is happening now is we're bifurcating our area. The southern one-third is now being separated by the northern two-thirds. And we think this is going to create an inequity. For example, if one were going to build a 7,500-square-foot restaurant one block south of Hawthorne, that person would be paying $115,000 more up front than if a similar facility two blocks to the north. We believe this inequity will be greatest for small business developments who can't handle such premiums, and we fear that the end result here is going to be existing businesses or new businesses gravitating or locating further to the north in our district, and really essentially moving away from the projects that are being implemented here that are trying to attract business. The second issue that we have has to do with the various types of land uses in the CEID, how they'll be affected. You know, you've heard it before. The CEID is an industrial sanctuary. We have a very diverse mix of businesses in our area, many of which are industrial, warehousing. There's as well as all the other uses. I think the other concern we have here is that some land uses we feel are going to be subsidizing other land uses as areas continue to grow in this affected area of the CEID. Mainly because the TSDC overlay project is primarily identifying and implementing transit and non-auto oriented projects, which they're great, but there's only one project out of the six that has to do with enhancing auto traffic. And our concern here is that land uses such as industrial, many types of commercial uses, are least likely to use these transit non-oriented projects are going to subsidize other land uses that come in, such as office, residential, things of that nature, which may have a higher reliance upon these transit and non-auto facilities. So really, we have two suggestions for consideration, if you could just grant me 30 more seconds. One of those, and these have to do with some adding on some exemptions to the normal exemptions that apply. One of those has to do with the changes in occupancy of existing small buildings. Right now, there's exemptions up to a full exemption up to 3,000 square feet, and this sliding or graded scale from 3,000 to 5,000. Our suggestion is to increase that maximum from 5,000 to 10,000. The second suggestion, which relates to the subsidization, is currently developers, they have the right to submit alternative trip generation data.
I need you to speed up.
Okay. Developers, our suggestion is that developers also be allowed to challenge the mode splits that are in fixed here in this TSC overlay. Right now, they're 46% motorized, 29% transit, and 25% non-motorized. And we can't challenge that. And I think that there are some existing businesses looking to grow that would like to open that up for a challenge.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I gave you a minute and 15 seconds Thanks. More. Mr. Llewellyn.
Thank you, Council. I'll try to be brief. I came today to submit that curb extension study, and when I realized you were having public hearings on this subject, I decided to sign up. But I've been a supporter of our light rail system for about 20 years and involved all that time. And I take the approach that if there's something wrong with a project, I'll come in and offer my criticism, and I'll spend time analyzing projects' pros and cons. And I think the city needs people like myself who are not involved with neighborhood associations or engineering firms and companies and people who are, you have to have the public an understanding. The public needs an understanding from someone that's beyond, that's outside of the people who are directly involved. And my take on the Milwaukee light rail project and the bridge is, even though it's expensive, it has a lot going for it. Well worth the justifying the amount of expense that it expects to cost. I expect it to succeed. It just has too much. It has so much going for it. That's my take. So I stand as a supporter. And basically, that's my one comment. I was kind of hoping that they would go for the line as the cherry line.
The cherry line?
Or the Bing line.
Well, they still may. The decision hasn't been made, has it?
For the search engine?
For the color of the line.
Color of the line.
I know. I'm teasing. You have a lot of young people in the audience. It was an intergenerational joke. Thank you, Mr. Llewellyn. Mr. Lee.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you. My name is James Lee, and I speak only for myself. And all this talk about money, I think I can add a good bit to that pot, namely $135 million, which is the price of the dysfunctional interchange that the Oregon Department of Transportation wants to add to the west end of the Selwood Bridge. Several years ago, I went down. I was concerned about this, so I went down and talked to Gail Achterman, who is the chair of the Oregon Transportation Commission. She said she was concerned, too, and she had, in fact, commissioned a study which showed that anything more than spending $80 million at Selwood added no net function to the Oregon transportation system. I would like to point out that the wonderful new bridge that TriMet is going to build under the aegis of Mr. Barnard, who is here today, and former Mayor Katz, who ran a wonderful committee study for it, the total cost of that thing is about $130 million. So ODOT's dysfunctional interchange is at least as much or more than that.
Okay. Thank you all very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mm-hmm.
Alan Della Torre and Peter Finley Fry.
All right. Please come forward. Welcome back. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Alan De La Torre. I'm research faculty in the Institute on Aging at Portland State University and a member of the Portland Commission on Disability, and I serve as the co-chair of the Accessibility and the Built Environment Subcommittee. I'm here in support of the TSDC overlay and want to relay a little bit of information on what we've been doing in the Portland Commission on Disability in a partnership with the Portland Bureau of Transportation and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. We've been working specifically on the cycle track on Broadway to improve accessibility for older people and persons with disabilities. This is something that we'll continue to work on. Specifically, there's a new grant that's been issued to the Institute on Aging. I'm the principal investigator for this small grant to look at innovating the way that we're designing for and planning for older people and persons with disabilities. We're specifically looking at, through communication with PBOT, BPS, and the university, at the 4th Avenue streetscape improvements. We're proposing an innovative design charrette that will bring people together that will look at blind, low vision, deaf, hard of hearing, mobility impairment, hidden disabilities in older adults, and how we can plan for these populations as part of this new streetscape improvement. And this SDC overlay will allow us to actually go from a conceptual framework to implementation. We're just really excited about this opportunity and wanted to bring that aging and disability perspective in to this angle.
Thank you. Another reason why Portland State is the best urban university in the United States. Mr. Fry.
My name is Peter Finley Fry. I'm actually on the CIC board, Centrally Site Industrial Council, and I'm vice chair of the Land Use Committee. And about a year ago, we instituted a program called Land Use Deputies, and Brian Dunn has done an extremely good job on this for us and has reported back to the board and the Land Use Committee regularly. We submitted a memorandum yesterday, but I'm not going to go into it in detail because I know you will all study it. And I want to be very clear that we support the projects, and we have always supported OHSU and PSU and OMSI when OMSI came to our district. The problem that we have here is that SDCs are actually based on transportation impact, not property values. And this is a matter of how a new development impacts a system, and you charge that development for its impact on the system. And traditionally, SDCs are used for traffic projects, and so your SDC fee structure is based on traffic impacts. You see that in your modal split, and you see that is how it's all been done. So what happens here is it gets upside down. 5,000, and these numbers aren't exact, they're to illustrate my point. A 5,000 square foot bank is around 111,000. 5,000 square foot restaurants around 102,000. A 40,000 square foot office building is 130,000. A 60 unit hotel is about 140,000. So under this structure, in one that's going to transit, which actually benefits offices and hotels and not restaurants and banks, the banks and restaurants are going to be paying almost the same amount as the office and the hotel, which is an inequity. And this creates a circumstance that we fear that we will have a very sterile neighborhood there with great institutions, office buildings, employment centers, and no banks, no restaurants, none of the amenities that a neighborhood needs to serve the area. So we're asking that, at the very least, we re-examine the fee structure based on the nexus between the development and its impact on this package of projects. And today, we have been unable to get them to shift away because it requires them to re-examine their SDC basis for the citywide. Lastly, I want to comment briefly on the boundary expansion. We're clearly concerned about the edge, but if the boundary starts expanding, it needs to expand on the west side and the east side, because I hear all your arguments about great impact for us, but this is also a great thing for downtown to bring everybody down here. So thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you all for your testimony.
Peter, I just had one question for Peter. Mr. Lee testified earlier about raising the square footage exemption from 5,000 to 10,000 square feet.
That's actually something we've talked about, and that would solve this problem with the banks and restaurants, because banks and restaurants are typically under 10,000 square feet, for example.
Yeah, so that's where that number 10 came from.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. I mean, we still want to look at it, but yes, that would move us in definitely in the right direction.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So a couple of items just to go over the, in terms of SDCs and the underlying approach to system development charges, we've talked about the difference between the charges for local improvement districts. The city's approach to system development charges is based on court tests of what is legal and not legal for the basis of charging and not charging, exempting and including. And it's based on that best practice, not only from a legal point of view, but also not just from our own point of view. We've had experts that have looked at this issue nationally. So it has been tested for fairness in the courts where it matters significantly. To Mr. Fry's point, he's leaving right now. Respectfully, the experience that we've had along light rail and streetcar lines are not have not realized the fears that you state. We have attracted private investment from the entire swath of potential investment along the existing light rail stops and streetcar lines. But it is a concern that we will keep an eye on. In terms of the zoning as it relates to the overlay, we looked at that very carefully, some of the prior testimony. This district is largely industrial sanctuary. It will stay as such. So the potential flipping from warehouse to, let's say, restaurant that would see the biggest charges is least likely to happen in the city in an industrial area. And where there is more permissive zoning, not entirely, but there is a lot more permissive zoning where we have put the overlay. So we've tried to be thoughtful to that regard. I understand this is a terrible recession for business. We've been very careful about this, and we chose in the system development charge, again, because you don't get a bill until you actually do something. And we thought that was best given the current environment. Commissioner Fritz, did you want to make a motion?
Yes, I'd like to move the amendment to item 308, stating be it further resolved once the Clinton to the River project and Water Avenue relocation projects are fully funded as stipulated in the report, incorporated into the PMLRT project. Staff is directed to include the Innovation Quadrant SDC overlay contributions to those projects in the financing utilized to fund the Portland 2 PMLRT project. If either or both of these projects cannot be funded, a public process with report and decision by council shall occur for selection of highest priority projects in the remaining project list.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there additional council discussion? Sue, would you please call the roll on the motion?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Motion is approved. Commissioner Saltzman.
Yes, I guess I have three amendments, and maybe they're already incorporated, but one was that the SDC collection expires in 20 years. The second is that the if the $14.5 million is reached sooner than that 20-year period, then the SDC retires
or early.
Expires early. And then the final one is that the project list and the fee structure, any changes in that would be brought to council and also noticed to the appropriate neighborhoods, Brooklyn, Hand, and others.
So our plan would be to incorporate those elements in the July ordinance that would enact the fee itself.
Okay.
So
let's take a quick poll at council. Does everyone agree with those so that you have our legislative intent well known?
Mayor, do you view those as friendly amendments?
I do. I think we've memorialized them here as a matter of legislative intent, and we'll put them in the July ordinances.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Any other? All right. Now, are we going to vote on the resolution today? Okay. Yep. So
I was under the understanding we were going to wait a week.
Are we going to wait on the resolution, or are we going to vote on the resolution?
Our hope was that you would act on that today, but that's council's discretion.
It would allow us to go forward with the noticing for the July meeting, but...
Shoshana, the two ordinances go to a second reading, correct?
The two ordinances go to a second reading, and the resolution is a...
To vote on 308.
Correct.
Right. You okay with that? Oh. I would just excuse yourself. So, unless there are objections, 306 is moved to a second reading next week. Unless there are objections, 307 moves to second reading next week. And we will now vote on 3-8. Commissioner Saltzman.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I believe that I have an economic interest in some of the property in the boundary of the proposed SDC overlay, so I'm going to recuse myself from voting on the resolution.
Okay. So please call the, with that noted, please call the vote on the item number 308 resolution.
Fish.
Well, first, we have a crazy jam schedule today, and this is the first very complicated thing that we're working through. I want to compliment staff for a very strong presentation, very clear, and also for arranging the testimony so we get the range of stakeholder views on this question. Mike Powell said that these kinds of things are never palatable and there's never a good time. Truer words were not spoken. The question is, are we prepared to make this investment in something that could be a game changer for our city and for the impacted neighborhoods? I think the case has been made clearly and succinctly that we should. I'm excited particularly for the implications for the new OMSI campus. And having received a tour there recently and thinking about how it will connect with what the Rail Heritage folks want to do in providing a new home for three locomotives the city owns, and just the whole campus and the build-out, the good stuff for our economy, for the quality of our life, and for continued progress in the areas of transportation, it's exciting. Mayor, thank you for your strong leadership on this, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard. Fritz.
Well, thank you, especially to Mayor Adams, for bringing this forward, for working on it long and hard, to Shoshana Oppenheim and Art Pierce and Teresa Boyle and Sue Keel, who have all, over the past several months, briefed me extensively and worked with me and my staff, and we appreciate that a lot. Again, to reiterate, this is over $700 million in federal money coming to provide 14,000 jobs and a light rail system through some of our most distressed neighborhoods in inner southeast Portland. So it's a project which has great benefits, and I, for one, am glad that those federal dollars are coming back here rather than going overseas to fight wars. I think if there were a bucket of federal money that would give us $700 million to provide sidewalks, then we would certainly be going after it, but there isn't. So given the realities of the system we're dealing in, I certainly appreciate this project and all the good work on it. And again, commend Mayor Adams. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank the council for their support of this measure, for their strategic vision. And I think that's really well said. If we could go after federal or state money to fill all the potholes and sidewalk up all the streets in the city of Portland, we'd be doing that first. But those pots of money and funding sources do not exist. This does. And for every dollar we spend locally, we get $27 in other spending. Again, in parts of town that are incredibly challenged from a mobility, access, and transportation point of view. I want to thank the great team, transportation team in my office, Catherine Charlo, the great Katja Dillman. I want to thank Teresa Arch, Shoshana Sue, and Greg, and everyone at the Bureau of Transportation, Mr. Joe Hansen, who keeps the care of the books. I'm glad, and the neighborhood, and everyone who volunteered. You've asked for this for as long as I've had a political consciousness, and I'm really glad that we're now taking another step forward and seeing it realized. Thank you. Aye. So the resolution is approved. We will now get to the state of the city. Sorry, state of the education report. I really appreciate everyone who has hung in there. How many are here for the state of the education report? Raise your hand. Okay, we have some seats opening up down here if you want to move down. So we're going to have just a five-minute break for everyone. I think we have enough seats down here for most everyone upstairs. We will pick up regular agenda at 2 p.m. So if you're here for a regular agenda item, 2 p.m. I think we can get through trees, can't we? You want to do fire first?
Yeah.
Because I got the chief is coming
sorry.
From Tualatin Valley at 11:30.
With the exception of Tualatin Valley testimony, everything else is a two.
Yeah.
Do I have to vote on it? Can we just take testimony?
It'd be nice. I've got the union president coming. I have a whole series of guests coming.
We're going to do all the school stuff together? Yeah. Yeah, what numbers are those? Oh, he's got it in here.
Sorry, so we are going to do this? Here's the thing, we're going to do education, scholarships,
yeah.
Fire.
Yeah, we should find out.
We're going
to
interrupt.
It's fair to ask
fire,
if they're going to.
Because you got everyone here. Can we have this?
Shouldn't take long.
Can we have discussion and vote? Just take the testimony. Yeah.
Well, the problem is, the reason, you see, you weren't here last week. And the problem is,
you got it,
Judah? So I've got to have these people here. Well, Dan and I have been working together behind the scenes. I think so. So I think it shouldn't take long.
Okay.
Hoping we just get in and get it done and everybody understands.
Fair enough. Okay. So we've got a crowd for trees.
Yes, sir.
That was my question. Trees this morning.
Trees at 2 o'clock.
Great, thank you. That'll work. You can ask
that. Sorry. Trees and the regular agenda, with the exception of the fire issue, will happen at 2 o'clock. Say that again.
I nearly missed it.
Hi.
I'm glad you're up here.
No, I think we have a few seconds for you. You've been patiently waiting.
Right. Then trees.
You got a sticker.
We'll see.
And what did you
have?
What order would you want?
When I leave town for a week.
Oh, I will. So the education stuff is now, and then the rest, except for the fire bond, is this afternoon. Got it. Thanks very much.
So basically, it's complex, but there are three action items forward our ability to officially. One was a resolution that can be voted on at the hearing itself. The other two are ordinances that can be voted on. Local resources, we get 26.
Yeah, I am going to stand. I can't do it without.
Including $750 million from the federal government. And
I mean, Randy does want me to.
Fritz, I've never heard him say this, but he said it really well.
How close do I have to be? How close do I have to be? Do I have to be, like, right here? Or do I have to be, like, Hi, hola. ¿Cómo estás?
Rocket.
Yeah, I'm going to rock it. Right here. It's all right here.
Well, the, you know, Old Town Chinatown, other parts of the city sort of suffer from waves of higher.
Is the other youth that's coming up with us?
I don't know, honestly.
With your agenda with
you? No, not with me. Sorry.
So, this is a new tool that if someone is convicted,
is it okay?
They will not be able to hang out in hotspots or but it's based on a court conviction as opposed to simply you. And that was the problem earlier. Oh, reason.
When we start the wave, it's all
working out that there was a racial disparity in that approach. That is supposed to be justice. So this tool, along with drug treatment, along with an additional district attorney, will make sure that not only
And are you an invited speaker? Okay, so Callen.
Arrest warrants, but that every single day we have tools in place to
this was
Karen,
hi Karen.
I'm not alarming you.
Hi. You know I have a cold. I'm not going to touch.
Yes.
Great. Good. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we actually are going to.
I'm not. I'm nervous anymore.
Attorney's office to fund a new process. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, right now, drug dealing in the city of Portland because of budget.
Okay, yeah.
because
getting basically a traffic ticket. So even though it's not our responsibility, we're still gonna, you know, write
like
a check to the district attorney.
Thank you.
For the city.
In your new role, you're gonna have.
I'm even nervous.
Hook. In your new role, you'll have to have a hook.
A shepherd's crook, perhaps. It looks at you.
We met with the businesses yesterday. I was really pleased. They said we had addressed, they thought, all of our issues in a meaningful way. Yeah. Like, wear your style.
You can use those upstairs.
Right along. You know, I was there to watch the undercover stings go down.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Sorry, it's such a long wait.
Oh, it's okay. It's helped me calm my nerves.
Yeah, by the time you get down to it, you'll be like, oh, can we just get this over with?
I like your jacket. It's really nice.
You're doing fine.
Howard Weiner at Kalski Sports. Isn't that Kalski?
Yeah. Howard Weiner.
He's been around a long time. He's very colorful, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sam, do you need anything?
Sam, no, I'm good.
Just to clarify,
you want to hear about
26. So a total of who are we doing now? So we're doing 309, 326, 327. Okay. All right, if the city council will come back to order, I really appreciate everyone's patience. How many of you are in the city council chambers for a city council meeting for the very first time? Raise your hand. All right. Well, we welcome you. Hopefully, if you were here for the last council discussion, you got a little better sense of our responsibilities as your public servants. That issue was about providing more effective transportation access and mobility for South Portland. I'm very pleased to begin the hearing on these three related council items. And I'm sort of drawing out my introduction because I need a third person sitting up here in order to proceed. How many of you want to testify today? How many of you mind if I just call on you? It's like being in class, a really big class. All right, calling our colleagues. Would you like to say something?
I think it's wonderful that you all stayed and watched Democracy in Action. This is a lot of what we do, and we have staff who work very diligently on projects and in citizens who work really diligently on projects. Then they come to the council for the final public hearing when we vote, or the next week we'll vote on, and that's part of what makes Portland great, I think. So that's similar to what we're doing today. There's been a lot of work done in the community, and you're coming to tell us about some of it. So we appreciate you being here.
All right, we now have a quorum, so we will proceed. Again, a program note, the tree ordinance package and the regular agenda items, with the exception of the fire-related council calendar items. So with the exception of the fire-related council calendar items, which we will have to interrupt this presentation for, everything else will be heard beginning at 2 p.m. So if you're here for the tree ordinance, if you're here for anything on the regular agenda, you can leave, and we'll pick it up with the exception of fire at 2 p.m. I had a three-hour introductory statement that I will completely skip, other than to say this is one of the more, this is one of the most difficult and most satisfying issues to work on. And I particularly like the fact that the council has been incredibly supportive of these efforts. It's not in our mission strictly, but this council has stepped forward at every opportunity, not just in hearings like this, but in their own bureaus to support improvements to the education in our community from cradle to career. So with that, Ms. Ladd.
So I'm going to start with a quote. Education is a human right with immense power to transform. On its foundation rests the cornerstones of freedom, democracy, and sustainable human development. If Portland aspires to be the most livable, sustainable city in the country, we need to get education right. Sadly, as evidenced by recent state budget cuts, we continue to disinvest in our system to the point that our education system becomes almost like a Jenga game. And some of you might remember Jenga from when you were a child. So what we're doing is we're cutting different pieces of our system. We cut our teachers.